Hey friends, welcome to the Next Step Leadership Podcast, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. I'm Tracy Reynolds, and my partner for the Next Step journey is Chris Maxwell. Together we hope to inspire, assist, and create the confidence you need to take your next step in your personal growth, spiritual growth, vocation, or even your calling. Thanks for joining us. Well, come on, let's dive into this week's episode of Next Step Leadership.
Welcome again to Next Step Leadership Podcast. I'm Chris Maxwell, and always look forward to these conversations with Tracy Reynolds. And Tracy, I look forward to the conversations with you, but also the guests that we have. And just listening to some of our recent podcasts, I'm like, wow, that was a great comment. I love what they said about this. Oh, what a wonderful story. I say that every time. So I thank you for taking time to do this. I thank our audience for listening and passing the word on to others. And I thank our guests for letting us ask them questions and for them to tell us their stories. Mm.
I so agree, Chris. Thanks for your friendship. People ask me fairly frequently, what can we do to help you guys? And it's really pretty simple. Continue to listen. But if you haven't subscribed, hit the subscribe button. And then you will receive our podcast on Thursday morning. When you wake up, it'll be sitting there waiting on you. And another thing you can do would be pass it along to someone that you think might benefit from it. And that can be you pass along a particular episode or the whole show. But those things are really, really helpful. Well, today we've got somebody who's not a stranger to either one of us. Steve Spillman is the founder and president of True Potential Publishing. They've published, and this is mind-boggling, over 300 titles and sold well over 1 million copies in the areas, I like this, faith, business, and life. He started at Southern Wesley University, and he lives in Greenville, South Carolina. We won't hold that against him. Not only that, True Potential has published a number of Chris's books and my book as well last year, and it's an honor to have our friend Steve Spillman with us this morning. Welcome to the podcast, Steve.
Thank you guys very much. It is a pleasure. I've been a fan for so long, since the beginning of your podcast, and it's such a great opportunity to meet people that you would never meet otherwise via the podcast. So I just tickle to death to be on.
Well, thanks, man. We are thrilled to have you for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that, man, you've become such a good friend and encourager over this past several years as I've gotten to know you. And Chris twisted my arm and had me write a book. And you made that, you know, if it could ever be easy, you made it easier than I ever thought it would be, man. So I'm very, very grateful for you, my friend.
Thank you, man. It's a mix between encouragement, coaching, and minor threats. So you passed on all cases.
Did you state that in the right order, or should it
no.
be?
It depends on the time. There's a time for encouragement, and there's a time for minor threats.
All right. Well, we want to start. You're very familiar with our format. We love to rewind and kind of learn about you. We want our listeners to meet our friend Steve Spillman and to learn some things about, you know. And I also have a bit of a goal, and that is that God would inspire some of the listeners to write and to work with you for publishing. So go back and go before that and tell us about how you came to be sitting across the airwaves from us today, what that journey kind of looks like.
Okay. I was born and raised in the ministry. My father was a full-time minister before I was born, and we were born and raised in that world. And dad was a really brilliant educator. And he was saved from a really horrible early life when he was a kid in a conservative, fundamentalist, Baptist, independent church. And all those words means like you had a rail to ride, and that's the rail you rode. And his life changed. Was the author of his own education, and he, you know, got advanced degrees in history and in Greek, and just loved the education, and became an education pastor, and then specialist for churches, and as kind of the circuit goes for a lot of those folks on those tracks, you know, we moved from church to church about every 3 years. Once his job was done, you know, the bigger church wanted him, then the bigger church wanted him. And so we kind of rode that track and finally ended up at at a church called Calvary Temple in Denver, which back then, back in the late 60s, 1970, it was what was the beginnings of one of the first mega churches. And Dad was successful. The church was successful. I don't think our family was very successful. And there's six of us kids, and he was really wondering, you know, if I'm so successful, why is everybody so upset and so unsatisfied? And the church had a habit of inviting some kind of star guest to attract the crowds for Sunday evening service. And they'd have Dino on the piano, and they'd have this, you know, movie star. So they decided to invite this lady named Catherine Kuhlman. And Catherine Kuhlman was a faith healer. And Dad was a fundamentalist, independent Baptist, and a very vocal one. And he said, I'm not having that witch at this church. And of course, it was a mega church, so he got outvoted. And as a result, and he said, I'll expose her in front of 3,000 people. I'll expose her on television. You know, all this is televised. I'll expose the woman. And he got healed in spite of his best efforts. Wow. And filled with the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
So then he had to deal with that. And so in the course of dealing with that, he knew that he had to, you know, he had to figure this out. And so through a series of events, a church, an Assemblies of God church in California said, look, just come here and chill out and figure that stuff out. And so he took the education position at that church. And that led to us going to Melody Land in Southern California, which was between Melody Land and down the street was Calvary Chapel. That was kind of the nexus of the charismatic movement,
right,
and the Jesus People movement. And so, you know, that's what I grew up in from, you know, 12, 13 years old on. And it was success. It was a big deal. The church, you know, had its own television station. The couple that ran the television stations were, their names were Paul and Jan Crouch. who later on came to run to do a lot of television. And Dad was kind of on the speaking circuit with, you know, the Full Gospel Businessman in different places all over the world. And so, you know, again, it was a very, very high level. And growing up in that, I saw all the spotlight. But as a kid growing up in that, you also see behind the curtain.
Yes, you do.
And behind the curtain, you see the humanity and the fallibility and the warts and, you know, everything else. And it got more and more that way as the 70s and then the 80s progressed. And we knew a lot of the television people around the country, and we knew a lot of the high rollers in the religion world around the country. And as a young man, and I saw Dad getting disenchanted with that because, you know, he saw this happening. And as a young man in the ministry, I thought, you know what, I don't think I want to be involved in this, you know. And I met a girl from South Carolina, and we were born and raised in Southern California, basically. And so South Carolina is a different planet. It yes. didn't even belong in our solar system. And so I met her and we got married. And at the same time, you know, I was so disenchanted with this ministry business that I told God, look, I just want to be a civilian. I want to be a guy in the pew. I don't want anything to do with this. And when we got married, we moved from Southern California to South Carolina, which is as far away from that environment as we could get and still be in the United States. And I did that for 24 years. And I just, you know, I grew up in the ministry. I grew up in Southern California, which means I had no real world marketable skills because, you know, I didn't know things were manufactured. I thought they came from Kmart. I didn't know how people lived. And I had the honor of in South Carolina to learn how people lived and fed their families. And so I got a job in a manufacturing plant. I'd never been in anything like that before. And they paid me $3.50 an hour. And I was lucky to get the job. And Elaine and I just worked. That's what we did. And we survived. And that's all we did. And one thing leads to another. And you get a promotion and you do this and that. And 22 years later, I woke up and we were sitting on a loading dock of a building I had just bought across the parking lot from my major building. And I was the guy that owned the company. Mm-hmm. And I said, and, you know, by all, you know, we didn't pay attention. So I didn't see this route of success. I just was working. And Elaine and I sat down on the loading dock after working all day on this new building. And I said, I think if we don't leave this life now, this will be our life. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, what do you want to do? Great, wonderful, wonderful wife and partner. For her to say that, you know, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to go into Christian publishing. Now, this had to come from my heart because it couldn't come from my brain. I didn't like professional Christians. I didn't like them. Most of the stuff I saw in Christian bookstores when I went in, I didn't like. I thought it was too much fluff. And I didn't know anything about publishing. And so it just came out, you know, after that many years. And I think what it was God saying, okay, you did the civilian thing. I allowed you this time. You know, I gave you what you wanted. Now it's time. So from that, out of 22 years, it was a total of 24 years. That was a Thursday afternoon. On Saturday morning, Elaine came into the house and she'd been shopping and she said, I heard a guy on the radio, and Elaine doesn't listen to the radio. So that was a miracle in itself. Heard a guy on the radio talking about your dad. And my dad had been passed away for 2 years. And he said, he's drilling for oil in Israel based on a book your dad wrote 20 something years ago. And I said, huh. And I happened to be in my business. I traveled all over the country in my business. I happened to be going to Fort Worth the next week, and this guy was in Dallas. And so, you know, I called him and we met. And really, in 36 hours, after 24 years of being a civilian, in 36 hours, I had the first book to publish.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Not on my own. It was just there. It was just thrown into me. And that was our first book, and we sold over 300,000 copies of them. Mm. And none of that, not a bit of that had anything to do with my talent, my work, my anything. Mm. And so that, I think that was God just proving to me, hey, do what I tell you to do. Let me take care of the rest. Mm. And so I had to take all the chips off my shoulders with the religious establishment. And I had to, you know, God, I was going off on a guy that's very, very, very popular and has millions of people following. And God just kind of, and was publicly, you know, going off on him. And God stopped me and said, look, he's my servant. I'll take care of him. You take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You take care of what I told you. And so that kind of got me back into serving the same people, the same group of people that I was so dead set against. So that's how we made it into the publishing business.
And isn't that similar to how God often does things, how God often meets people? I mean, Steve, think about it. And we want you to tell more about how you got from there to where you are now and what all you're doing. But I want us to stay right here for a second, because you could have not welcomed that new adventure. You could have continued living with that resentment and looking down on the others and what they have done. But you were willing to say, okay, God's teaching me some lessons. I'm going to learn those lessons and move forward. And I can make a positive difference. Instead of only critiquing and evaluating what everybody else does, I can be a part of this platform. I can be a part of this environment where we create a positive influence in a culture. And you said yes to that, Steve.
I think once you understand that your job is to take the log out of your own eye, you're a lot less critical of others. And then you realize what your position is and where you can be a servant to those same people that you judge too harshly. Yeah. You can be a servant to them.
You know, I think that we oftentimes will judge, just like you said, we judge other. We want to extend judgment to other people, but we want to receive mercy for ourselves.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Well, I love that you were daring to do something that was way out of your comfort zone, something that, like you said, God was saying to you, hey, Steve, you don't worry about the particulars. If I want you to do this, I will give you the capacity. That's a beautiful, beautiful lesson.
Yeah. And as we were saying before the podcast, I have this gift of being willing to jump into things without any qualifications, without any prior knowledge. I just, and so I thought, you want Lori?
I admire
Here
that.
We go again.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, you got into Christian publishing. You started down this road. Keep going. Tell us more.
Okay, so I didn't know anything about it. Didn't know anything about starting a business when I started a business. I had no idea. So I was able to learn, and I'd been given some opportunities, and one of the opportunities was publish a series of books from a very famous author in the UK. And so I figure, well, I know about business. Let's figure out how to do this. So I flew to Tulsa to talk to two consultants in the book business. And these guys had the ability to get into Walmart, to get into Mardell's, which is a very big, that's the Hobby Lobby guy, a very big set of Christian bookstores, and to Walmart and things like that, these big mega stores. And so I said, well, okay, here's the books. Let's go. Let's do it. And they said, wait a minute. He said, here's what's going to happen. We're going to get you in. We're going to make a deal. You're going to publish, you're going to print 50,000 books, and you're going to send them to the distribution center. And 4.5 months later, you're going to get 49,950 of them back. They've never paid you for anything. And now you've got 49,950 unsellable books, and that's going to be your experience. And I said, okay. I said,
sounds great.
What do I do? Yeah, what do I do? And they said, go home and just get to know your audience and sell to those folks, sell to the folks, and just get to know your audience and just start there. And at that time in the publishing business is old business. Mm-hmm. And the way it worked was we're the publisher. We have distributors, printers, bookstores, book chains, things like that. And it all goes down through that line. And that's how people get books. They go into a bookstore. The bookstore manager or the bookstore worker says, here's the book you want to read. And they pay the bookstore. And that's how it worked. That distribution system worked. And we were brand new to this, and so we couldn't get in the distribution system, but we didn't have 100 years of infrastructure to deal with that they did. So they had to fight through this, and all I did was go home, find this new thing called the internet, and just start talking to people. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did, and what we found out, we discovered is that distributors don't buy books. Walmart doesn't buy books. Bookstores don't buy books. People buy books. Mm. And all those guys are just in between. And so since the distribution world would not have us, would not accept us, we just started selling books to people. And then we found out that if we were successful, the bookstores called us and said, hey, this book's a pretty good book. What they found out is they were missing out. Mm-hmm. Selling the book. So that's how we kind of discovered it. And then we went from there. The Lord has led us to every single author. I'm convinced of it. I was in a coffee shop. A guy in Charlotte wanted me to meet somebody and meet a couple of guys. And I was in this little, I think it was a Waffle House or something like this, in this coffee shop. And this guy was there. He didn't talk a whole lot. He didn't have any hair. But he was a nice guy and just a neat guy. And I was so attracted to this guy and when he did talk, his story was so amazing. And so out in the parking lot, I said, can we talk a little bit more? And I found out that he worked at Emmanuel College in Georgia. And that's how I met Chris Maxwell. Mm. And so from then on, Chris has just been a best friend. And we've published 8 of your books, Chris.
Yeah.
I think 8 books.
8 books.
Yeah, I think 8. Well, you're working on number 12
yeah,
now.
8 of my 11. So, and number 12
and
on the way.
Friends like Chris have just been part of that story and part of that facilitating me meeting other folks, mm-hmm. the Lord directing us to other folks directing us and mm-hmm. being directed to us. And it's just, it's been really organic, but you can tell that it's really following a path, not making a path.
Ooh, I like that, Steve. Well, this is a great first episode in this conversation mm-hmm. with you. Repeat yourself. How did you phrase that about path? I want to hear that one more time.
I said it was about when I saw the Lord working through this so obviously, and I'd been in business where I had to make the plan and make the path, I discovered this was all about just following the path. It had nothing to do with making a path.
So that's so good, about following the path instead of just kind of forcing it, making it, letting it all depend upon us. And many of those who are listening to our podcast are in a season right now where they don't know what path to take. Some of the paths from the past have hurt them, harmed them. They're reluctant to pursue dreams, to walk through these open doors of opportunity. But I think your story is a reminder. Hey, maybe you're out west and it's time to go east. Maybe you're stuck in this business, but it's time to look out a window of dreams and opportunities, and you can make a difference. So, Steve, this is great. In the next episode, we want you to talk about a lot of the books that you have published through your company and some of the authors and stories that we believe would be a good fit for our audience. And again, man, we just appreciate you and care for you. And we're writing stories, reading stories, learning from stories about ways that each of us can make sure that our next steps are our best steps.
Thanks for joining us on Next Step Leadership, a weekly conversation dedicated to your personal growth and leadership development. Chris and I are so glad you joined us. You can find us on your favorite podcast providers. Do us a favor and hit subscribe. And if you really want to help us, give us a rating. We so appreciate your support. Check out our show notes for more information regarding guest contact information. Tracy Reynolds' new book, Second Chair Leadership, How to Serve, Thrive, and Lead from Where You Play, is available now at ctracyreynolds.com or Amazon. Chris Maxwell's 11th book, Equilibrium, 31 Ways to Stay Balanced on Life's Uneven Surfaces, is available now at chrismaxwell.me or Amazon, where you can find all of Chris's previous books as well. Our featured music is by Casual Americans. You can find their musical releases at casualamericans.com or your favorite music supplier. We release Next Step Leadership each Thursday, so join us again next week on the Next Step Journey, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. Things fill my
center.